Great to see you all. Great to be in this building. What a great building and a testimony to the to God's people and your giving and your faithfulness. And thank you for coming today. When we were traveling here today, we saw people doing all sorts of things. A lot of people out walking, people cycling, people running. And I think to myself, that's a disgrace because I do neither. But, you know, our culture changes. But God calls us to be salt and light in this world in which we live. And I look around this place, I think to myself, what does this congregation run on? What do we run on? I want to read you a wee verse or two just from the book of Colossians. It's a short reading. You can look it up or you can trust me to read it. It's in Colossians, comes at the end of Colossians chapter 4 chapter 4 and verse 7. And here Paul refers to a number of people. He talks about Tychicus, a beloved brother and a faithful minister, a fellow servant in the Lord. He will tell you all the news about me. I'm sending him to you for this very purpose, that he may know your circumstances and comfort your hearts. Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother who is one of you. They will make known to you all the things which are happening here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greet you with Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, about whom you received instructions. If he come to you, welcome him. And Jesus, who is called Justice, these are my only fellow workers for the kingdom of God, who are of the circumcision. They have proved to be a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greet you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has a great zeal for you and for those who are in Laodicea and those in Hierapolis. Just those verses. And I asked you the question, what does this place run on? If you look into the Acts of the Apostles and all the great movements of God, you'll always find it was linked to praying, to a praying people. And here Paul is listing these groups of people, and then he comes to this man Epaphras. This man Epaphras stands out to the Apostle Paul. And I often think, you know, I don't think Paul would have been easily impressed. But he's impressed by this man because that he is a man who prays. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones says this. He says, always respond to every impulse to pray. What does he mean by that? You're out in the fields, you're in town, you're at the workplace, and somebody comes into your mind. What he's saying is, always respond to that. A couple of other wee reasons here why we should pray. Corrie Ten Boom would be a name I'm sure that would be familiar to many of you. She says this. She says, don't pray when you feel like it. Have an appointment with the Lord and keep it. A man is powerful on his knees before God. I wonder, could that be said about me? Could that be said about you today? Have we an appointment with God? You know, we've all got appointments, haven't we? And we run two diaries, and my wife's always talking about the danger of these two diaries, keeping the appointments together. But do we have an appointment with God. Adrian Rogers says this, a prayer offered to God in the morning during our quiet time is the key that unlocks the door of the day. Any athlete knows that the start ensures a good finish. You know, these are things that challenge us, don't they, as God's people. Are we a praying people? Are we throwing our weight into this congregation? Spurgeon says this, shall I give you another reason why I should pray? I have preached my heart out. I could say no more than what I've said. Will not your prayers accomplish that which my preaching fails to do? Is it not likely that the church has been putting forth its preaching hand, but not its praying hand? And that was a great preacher. And yet he was saying, I need people to stand with me and to pray for me. Now, what is it about this man Epaphras? Well, he says that he's a bondservant. The word bondservant means a slave, someone who is wholly given to his master. Onesimus, well, he was a slave too, but he was a runaway slave. And he ran right across Paul and he became a Christian. Onesimus was a great man. So we read about these different people. But what is praying? Praying is a battle. Praying is a battle. I think that's perhaps one of the reasons why we may shy away from prayer. Praying is asking God to do what only He can do. If we could run this place ourselves, we wouldn't need prayer. But praying is asking God to do what only He can do. When I went to Hill Street Presbyterian Church quite a few years ago now, I remember Drew Moore saying, he says, if you've come here recently and you're wondering what you can do about the place, he says, join one of our prayer meetings. And I would challenge you that today, folks. You know that we just don't come and go, but we throw our weight into the work. Paul speaks about praying without ceasing. Now, what does that mean? I think it just means every crisis, every problem, every battle, we should first and foremost turn to God. A lot of young families here, cover your children in prayer. Pray for them that they'll respond to the love of God in Christ. All these organizations, pray for the leaders. Pray for the teachers, that these will be places of evangelism, that your children and other people's children will come to faith and trust in the Lord. And pray for your minister. He carries responsibilities and burdens and other people's problems that he can't share with anyone else. Pray for him. Stand with him. But just very simply, I want to leave one or two wee points here concerning this man Epaphras. It says here that he was always praying. Now this is Paul's estimation. This is Paul's testimony. And you see it there in verse 12 if you had your Bible open. He says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently. You know, it's a great thing to be an always man or woman, isn't it? Dependable. There. Not blowing this way and that way. Always praying. You know, if you were to look through the epistles of Paul, you'll find that he's saying, praying always for you. Continue in prayer. And Paul is exhorting others to that sort of lifestyle. And then he says, do you know what? See this man Epaphras? He's the big example. He's that type of person. You remember how Jesus says, ask and keep on asking, seek and keep on seeking, knock and keep on knocking. I often think if you remember when Lorna was doing the presentation about the inner tribe, and there was a man in the middle picture, with his two sons. You know, we prayed often for that man, and we continue to pray. And just recently, that man has turned up again. You know, sometimes we pray for something, and I'm guilty of this as well, and then we forget about it. But it's good to be an always person. To be an always person. So he prayed constantly, but secondly, we see here that he prayed fervently. Praying fervently for you in prayer. You know, folks, sometimes we can go to prayer meetings, and I've been around prayer meetings a good few over the years, and people can chatter away the best you ever heard before the actual meeting starts, and then it brings in a deadness. You see, here's a man who is fervently praying. It means to agonize. It is the same word, believe it or not, that is used of Jesus when he prayed in the garden. And our praying has got to be serious. Our praying has got to be serious. Not trying to, and people have said to me, oh, you know, I couldn't pray like so and so. I don't think God's a bit interested in that. To just be ourselves, we don't put on a special language, we just pour out our hearts to God. Elijah, it says he prayed earnestly. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So we see that he prayed constantly, he prayed fervently, and then thirdly we see that he prayed personally. It wasn't a general prayer, God bless the church or whatever. He prays for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Epaphras concentrated his prayers on the believers in Colossae. That's why we have prayer requests. That's why we have, and I noticed there was a prayer diary there, a missionary diary. Take that home and keep it somewhere that where you can see it. That's where we have prayer cards. And you know, we have a lot of prayer cards in our house, and it just reminds us to pray for somebody along the way. To pray personally. And then lastly, we see that he prayed specifically. And what was his prayer? He says, for all the will of God. For all the will of God. He says that you may stand. Stability in the storm. One boat sailed east and one boat sailed west by the selfsame wind that blows, but it's the set of the sails and it's not the gales that determine the way that we go. James speaks about a man blown about with every wind of doctrine. He calls him a double-minded man. Remember those famous words of Martin Luther? He says, here I stand. He was praying that they would be complete in all the will of God. And as Paul spoke about it, doing the will of God from our hearts. Do you know, it's a great privilege to serve the Lord, isn't it? I hear people say, oh, well, you know, we're taking nothing with us in this world. Let me tell you something. If you are laboring for the things that are eternal, those are the things that you will take with you. If you're reaching souls and touching lives for God, that is what you will take with you, the treasure in heaven. Paul sent his request. He says, brethren, pray for me that I might speak as I ought. The opportunities to preach would come daily, but he needed God's courage, he needed God's help, he needed God's blessing. He looks at Epaphras and he says, I bear this man record. I bear this man record. I've watched this man. This is the sort of man. I can depend on this man. He's going to be here when the going's hard, when it's difficult. He was a man of zeal. Do you know, isn't it amazing how enthusiastic we can get about all sorts of things? But to be enthusiastic about the gospel. Just to round it up, I just want to say that he prayed. His praying brought a confidence in the gospel. Praying will bring a concern for the lost. And prayer will bring a compulsion to tell others. You know, folks, you can touch somebody that nobody else will touch. People that God will bring across your path. You can talk about the weather. You can talk about the politics. You can talk about all sorts of things. The people he prayed for, the passion he displayed, and the persistence that he maintained. You know, I believe that we need to be reaching up to God before we can reach out to others. Well, may God encourage us all in this new year and an opportunity to be going for God and watching out for souls and supporting the work here and trusting God for greater things.